This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour three here of Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're not going to waste any time when it comes to the Twins tickets. Caller number eight. Caller number eight. 651-989-9226. Caller number eight. You'll receive opening day tickets to see your Minnesota Twins face the Cleveland Indians next Thursday, March 28th. Caller number eight to 651-989-9226. You're headed to Target Field. Caller number eight. All right, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, we want to get everybody caught up on some of the scores and everything that's been taking place here today as well as yesterday. But currently, another game that's still going on. Virginia Tech, the four seed, facing St. Louis. Early on in this game, Virginia Tech was just blowing St. Louis out by 20-plus points. Now with 8 minutes remaining in the game, St. Louis cut into that lead, and they trail now by 12. They got it as much down to as much as 10, but currently right now with 8 minutes remaining in the ballgame, 55-43, Va Tech is leading SLU at the moment. Some finals from a little bit earlier. Cincinnati, earlier this morning, they lost at the hands of the Iowa Hawkeyes, 79-72, in a mild upset. Another game, it was an 8-9 matchup, Oklahoma, 95, Ole Miss, 72. Oklahoma was all over Ole Miss the entire game with that one. Texas Tech, kind of a sluggish start to their game against Northern Kentucky, but they ended up winning that game 72-57. They basically routed Northern Kentucky in the second half, so they win by 15. In one of the upsets of the day, though, Kansas State actually last year overcame a lot of adversity and made it all the way to the Elite Eight. Not to be this year. Dean Wade, one of their star players, a senior, not available for K-State. They lose and was upset. UC Irvine defeated them 70-64. That was a 13-4 seed upset in regards to the NCAA tournament. Other games from earlier today, Tennessee, they beat Colgate 77-70. That was a 2-15 seed matchup. Number one seed, Virginia, was trailing at halftime. And that's a big deal because remember what happened with Virginia last year, okay? They were the number one overall seed in the tournament, and they lost to UMBC. Well, they were trailing at halftime, but then in the second half, they turned it up, and they ended up beating Gardner-Webb 71-56. Other scores, Arizona State, they lost to Buffalo. And I know that Chad Hartman, he's heartbroken for his Sun Devils. But they lose 91-74. Wasn't much of a contest at all. A score that we all, I think, the majority of us enjoyed, is the Badgers. They were upset today. Oregon out of the Pac-12. Remember how we all talked about the Pac-12 wasn't anything? It wasn't a good conference? And it wasn't. But one of the institutions that got into the tournament, Oregon, a 12 seed, defeated the Badgers 72-54. Other scores, Washington, also out of the Pac-12, they defeated Utah State 78-61. That was an 8-9 matchup. Duke, the number one overall seed in the land. They were tied at halftime against the Bison of NDSU, but they rolled in the second half, 85-62. Houston, who I think is one of the best teams that's in the field, they defeated Georgia State 84-55. That was a 3-14 matchup. Mississippi State, the 5 seed, they got upset by Liberty, 80-76. I called that one, so I'm looking good in my bracket with that. But Iona, who led UNC at halftime, they could not pull off the big upset. They were the 16 seed. number one seed UNC rolled in the second half, 88-73. And also just recently, UCF knocked off VCU, 73-58. And the last final that we just had that wrapped up about 5 minutes ago, Ohio State representing the Big Ten, a team that a lot of people didn't think was going to get into the tournament. They squeaked in as one of the final teams getting in. They beat Iowa State, and it was 62-59. So you got a little Big Ten love there beating the Big 12, 62-59. But we called for eight people to call the station to get to see if they could win the other tickets. What's your name?
Mac.
Mac, congratulations. You're going to Target Field next Thursday, my man.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right, Mac in Roseville. He's caller eight. So congratulations, man. You're going to have some fun at Target Field. Hopefully the weather is going to be awesome, and I'm looking forward to being a part of the game as well.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, take care. I'm going to put Mac in Roseville on hold. So we have a winner. Those are all of the tickets for the week. We gave out, five pairs of tickets throughout the week. We gave a couple of pair off out tonight. So Mac in Roseville, he's a final winner of Twins tickets for opening day. Of all of the games that I just mentioned and I went through, the one that I feel so great about is the fact that Wisconsin lost to Oregon. But it is funny how, when it comes to predicting and talking about the brackets and breaking it down and talking about which conference is going to represent and which conference is going to do poorly, the Big Ten has done a good job so far. The institutions in terms of that are representing the conference have played well. Now, Wisconsin, they ended up losing. But the other teams in the conference that have made their way into the field have pretty much represented and done a good job. Minnesota clearly pulling off an upset. We talk about who else played today that ended up getting a victory out of the Big Ten. Yesterday was the day that Minnesota won. But Iowa, they pull off an upset. That was another 10-7. Think about that. Two 10 seeds out of the Big Ten end up pulling off the 10-7 upset. Iowa wins, and that was not a game that I predicted that Iowa was going to win. I thought that Cincinnati, who I had watched throughout the year, and we watched how Iowa kind of collapsed at the end of the year. They didn't play well down the stretch in the Big Ten. Iowa put it together in the second half. They played well. They pulled off the upset. And the funny thing about Iowa is that when they get it going from three-point land, they are a tough team to beat. And Cincinnati played well, I thought, at the end of the year, and Iowa didn't. But how about the fact that maybe it was just due to the fact that Coach McCaffrey was suspended for a couple of games? Maybe that played a part in Iowa not being the Iowa team that we saw the majority of the season. Now, you can look at the record and say that, 23 wins on the year so far, 11 losses. Iowa had kind of an up-and-down season. But at the end, that last week, with their head coach not coaching them for a couple of games due to his suspension, maybe that was one of the big reasons why they weren't able to end off the season well. But it doesn't matter now. It's a new season. We're in the NCAA tournament, and they're getting it done. So as it stands right now, you got plenty of representatives in the NCAA tournament from the Big Ten, and I'm looking forward to the second round as it stands right now for the Big Ten. Right now, the Big Ten schools that are remaining, if you look at the Eastern region, you've got Maryland facing LSU. That game takes place tomorrow morning at 12:10, actually 11:10 Central Time. And so Maryland, a team out of the Big Ten that's there, Minnesota facing Michigan State at 6:45 tomorrow. So out of that, you know that there is another team from the Big Ten that's advancing into the Sweet 16, so you're going to have one team going further and one team staying home, or going home, rather. Other Big Ten teams in action, Michigan, the two seed in the West, they take on Florida out of the SEC. And then you have Ohio State that advanced this evening, just a couple of minutes ago. They'll be taking on Houston on Sunday. And then you have Iowa will be facing the number two seed in the South, and that is Tennessee. So that's what it looks like for the Big Ten. Big Ten has a bunch of opportunities to get a bunch of teams into the Sweet 16. I'm looking forward to watching those games here over the next 48 hours. But congratulations again to Mac in Roseville. He won the Twins tickets for opening day. Coming up next, this is quite the story. And I hadn't seen this, well, potentially at all when it comes to PGA golfers. We talk about suspensions in all of the various sports leagues, but this one, in regards to PGA golf, is rather unique. We get to that next here on Late Night on 830 WCCO. All right, back with you here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. I got to mention this because I find this, this is interesting. This time of year when it comes to the tournament, we all like to gamble. We all like to wager. Heck, I want a little cocktail wager with Corey Hepola today. But with the NCAA tournament, there's so much money that's wagered and gambled on in Vegas when it comes to the tournament. This from the Twitter account of Dan Revell, business reporter for ESPN. Can you imagine dropping $9,192.25 to make $131.30? There was someone at the William Hill Sportsbook tonight that plunked down $9,192 just to win $131. And they bet that on North Carolina. Now, think about this for 1 second. Imagine being the person that put down 9 G's on North Carolina to win $130, and North Carolina's losing at halftime. Now, granted, that person that put down all of that money, they've got some loose change. Okay? I would say that they have some loose change. But the bottom line is, my goodness, that's not the greatest return on your investment. You plunk down that much just to win $131? It seems kind of somewhat of a weird bet. But spend money to make money, right? I feel you. All right, I got to get to this story because it is interesting from the standpoint that you hear about suspensions in the NBA, Major League Baseball, all the major professional sports when it comes to doping or drug abuse. But you don't hear about it when it comes to the PGA Tour. Well, today, pro golfer Robert Garrigues, he posted a message on Twitter on Friday admitting that he failed a drug test for marijuana and that he has been suspended by the PGA. The tour on Friday said that Robert violated the PGA Tour anti-doping program by testing positive for a substance identified as a drug of abuse. In accordance with the PGA Tour conduct policy, he has been suspended for a period of 3 months. Now, he becomes the first PGA Tour player suspended for using a drug of abuse. He will be eligible to return at the Rocket Mortgage Classic June 27th through 30th in Detroit. Okay. Now, Garrigues, who lives in Phoenix, he's appeared in 7 PGA Tour events already this year. And he has 1 career PGA Tour victory. That was back in 2010 in the Children's Miracle Network Classic. He has earned $14.7 million in his professional career. Now, in his message, he made an apology and he offered an explanation. He says, after a long period of sobriety, I had a relapse and failed a drug test for marijuana, a drug that, although legal in many states, is not permitted under the PGA Tour's anti-doping rules. Okay. He added he doesn't use the drug's legality in some places as an excuse. He says, I mentioned that it is legal in many states, not as an excuse, but as a word of warning to many people who use or try marijuana. Legal doesn't mean it isn't addictive, and legal doesn't mean there aren't potentially severe consequences if you use it. Okay, I find all of that interesting. Okay, number one, he is the first player to to be suspended for violating the PGA Tour anti-doping program by testing positive for a substance identified as a drug of abuse, number one. That's interesting. He becomes the first. And secondly, which is, it just 3 months. That's a long time. And I'm not trying to downplay any type of drug abuse. I know that a lot of people view marijuana as different than cocaine or heroin or any of the major hardcore drugs that are out there. And I am not somebody that smokes. And I've never been one to smoke. Okay? That's never been my deal. I'll go and, hey, we can go tip a drink. We can have a couple, DJ. But I've never been into the whole smoking thing. It's never appealed to me. But 3 months, that's a long time. And the thing that was intriguing to me about the 3 months is that essentially, when it comes down to it, that's a pretty strong first-time offense. I know that when it comes to Major League Baseball, if a guy gets popped for a PED, it's 50 games. Or the second time around, they increase the number, and then you're talking about guys essentially losing out on a year. And, you know, if you continue to get popped for continually cheating, then you're done. But 3 months, I found that interesting that he got suspended for that amount of time. And he said he had a relapse after a long period of being sober. So, hey, I'm wishing him the best. He's going to be out for 3 months. Hopefully things work out for him in the long run and that he returns back to the PGA in good form and mentally in a good place. But, yeah, so Gergis is going to be out for a little while, 3 months from the PGA Tour. But, yeah, that's a pretty stiff penalty for your first time getting popped for marijuana, of all of the drugs, too. Think about the guys that are out there right now. They're like, okay, 3 months for the first time offense? It's weed? Just weed for 3 months? That'll make you think. That'll make you think about using anything out there that you shouldn't be using. All right, coming up next, though, we have today's headlines. Today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, back with you here on News Talk 830 WCCO on a Friday night. We appreciate you hanging out. 90 minutes remaining until we hit our weekend. Our weekend starts, well, later than everybody else's. That's fine. Sunday's like my new weekend day that I'll take advantage of, especially when it comes to the happy hour. I'll probably be sitting at the bar by myself, DJ, everybody else getting prepared for the work week on Monday morning, and I get an opportunity to sleep in a little bit on Mondays. Most Mondays. Not this Monday, though. We got stuff to do. That's a big week.
That's a silver lining. Happy hours on a Sunday night are a little better deal than the Saturday night ones.
They are, yeah. Well, there's a lot of places that don't do happy hour on Saturdays, yeah, like Saturday nights. Sunday nights, though, yeah, you'll catch me at a happy hour or two this summer. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, but it's that time and that moment in the show where each and every night, Dave Josephson, he does today's headlines.
Yeah, and let's start off with a local story that we've been talking about a lot here on WCCO. In St. Paul, Melvin Carter has already declared a state of emergency as the Mississippi River is starting to rise. Flood preparations are underway, and kind of the new piece on this today is there are some roads in St. Paul that are scheduled to close beginning this coming Sunday at 10 p.m. Those include Shepherd Road from Cliffs Road to Ontario Street, 2nd Street from Kellogg Boulevard to Sibley, and a whole list of others that you can see on our website, WCCORadio.com. There's a full list of the roads that are scheduled to close already on Sunday.
I think that's the number one takeaway from all of this, is that you need to be cognizant of which streets are going to be closed. Because if you're not cognizant of that, you'll probably be in a little bit of traffic driving around because of everything. So just make sure that you know, like you mentioned, go to WCCORadio.com and check out and see which streets are going to, what roads are going to be closed beginning at 10 p.m. on Sunday or this coming Sunday.
Yeah, and the good news is that what we're talking about today is road closures. We're not talking about people losing their homes
yep.
or things like that, which may be coming, but for now it's road closures and things like that that are fairly routine at this time of year.
Yep, and it says, according to the report, the current forecasts have the Mississippi River and St. Paul topping out about 5.5 feet below the record set back in 1965. And that would be the seventh highest since record keeping began.
Yeah.
So that's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be up there, but hopefully not a record high.
Yep.
A sad news nationally today as a student who was at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High shooting a number of years ago. Unfortunately, she survived the shooting, but news today that she committed suicide.
Yeah, Sydney Aiello, she took her life at the age of 19, and she was a student at the high school that survived the shooting. And to me, I think that, because it's a very tragic situation, everything about this is tragic. What's tragic is about the shooting that began all of this conversation about, you know, or continued the conversation in regards to how we're going to deal with guns and gun laws in this country and how to protect our children in schools and everything. But this young lady, she took her life today. She committed suicide because she was still dealing with the trauma of everything. And I think that there needs to be a really big conversation about those young people that survive traumatic experiences that are dealing with the trauma still and are exhibiting some of the signs and how we can better help them. Because when you hear about her story, it's so sad that her life could not be spared. According to her mother, ever since the tragedy at her high school, she had struggled with survivor's guilt, and she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder in the year following the tragedy. And she never reportedly, I guess, asked for help, but this is the saddest part about it. She struggled to attend college classes because she was scared of being in a classroom. Think about that for a second. Think about what I just read to you guys. That after her high school was shot up, she was so traumatized that she was scared to be in a classroom. And tragically, she couldn't get past the shooting and she took her life. That's sad, man.
I think this is a good reminder in all these situations. You know, when we have a shooting like this that we've had all too many of, one of the big headlines is the number. How many people were injured? How many people were killed by a situation like this? And I think this helps serve as a reminder of the other things that impact people, right? Because, you know, this gal is not the only one who struggled with things like this. She's just the one that's making news today.
Yes.
There's others who are suffering from the same things, and maybe the outcome is different. Hopefully the outcome is different. But there's others who have suffered from that, and that has to be part of the story as we think about what school shootings mean for our country and how we can combat them.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm glad that we're talking about this and this is part of the headlines is just because right now with so much going on in the world, and we do hear about a lot of negativity as opposed to positivity, I feel like there are so many people, and I'm not talking about just young people. I'm talking about young and old individuals, just in general, that have lost hope. And we're seeing the suicide rates go up. And I just hope that we're able to continue to help promote people being aware of their mental health and getting help and being able to cope better and being able to get that support system. I just hope that we're able to continue to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Because I'm just these sad stories day in and day out. It depresses you. It really does.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, we have to stay with some bad news in a story that broke today. Country singer Justin Carter was found dead after an accidental shooting on the set of a music video he was working on.
Yeah, and this is a weird story because country singer Justin Carter, he accidentally shot himself. So what they're saying is that he was fatally shot when a gun that was being used as a prop on the set of a music video that he was doing in Texas, it went off. It went off. And his mother stated to a television station in Houston that he was filming the music video when a gun in his pocket, quote, went off and caught my son in the corner of his eye. That's very tragic right there. Think about that, being on the set of doing your own music video and something accidentally happening like that and your life is over.
Yeah, and I don't personally know Justin Carter's work. I do listen to some country music.
Me neither, but I saw this story.
I don't know his, yeah. But it sounds like his career was starting to take off, and maybe he was going to be somebody that we'd hear from soon in the country music world.
According to several different write-ups, people were comparing him to Garth Brooks.
Wow.
Think about that. Think about that. So he was on the verge of stardom, and then ultimately his life is cut short.
Wow. Wow, really sad story.
Yep.
Well, over in the business world, to end on a little bit of a lighter note, Starbucks is setting up a $100 million fund to invest in food retail startups. So apparently they're hoping to put some money out there to promote companies who are developing new technologies and products to help the food and retail industry. So it sounds like it's a thing where they will invest in new companies that are starting things that hopefully then Starbucks will be able to partner with in the future, but also a way to help some smaller businesses that are getting underway. And it is noted on this article that Minnesota-based General Mills has also done some investing of a similar type.
I love this. So I am somebody that I love it when people and companies and organizations that have made it big and are doing extremely well and have a great brand, when they're able to help smaller businesses and startups. To me, that's always something that should be advocated for and something that should always happen. And it's interesting because this is kind of that similar thought process of what's the name of the Shark Tank? I like that. I'm not a regular person in terms of watching that show, but I like the thought behind it, that you have these entrepreneurs and these business owners and these great minds that are sitting there. And people that have ideas themselves want to go to people that have made it big and say, look, I have a dream, and I want to see if you're willing to invest in my dream with my startup. And I love that. And so props to Starbucks for doing this and setting up this fund so that they can get some other people's dreams kind of moving and rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, and hopefully for a business like Starbucks, hopefully it's a win-win for them, as well as they can improve some technologies and processes over across the entire industry.
Yep. Coming up next, what NBA team is using high tech on their bench? I'll explain coming up next here on Lake Night. Back with you here on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. This story was interesting to me when I saw it earlier today, just because I think, aren't we all fans of technology? I guess unless you're just old school and there's certain things you don't like to do. I like technology. I like to advance and do cool stuff. It doesn't mean that I do everything that the cool kids are doing or using. But when I have time, I want to learn about different things and progress. I thought one of the funniest stories that was around 7 or 8 years ago was a story that who was our previous, right now Major League Baseball is Rob Manfred. Before Rob Manfred, the commissioner was
Bud Selig.
Bud Selig. I don't know if you heard this story 7 years ago about him not using email. Think about that. It's 2012 or 13, and Bud Selig did not like using email.
Yeah. You know, that just means that he had a assistant who did all of his email for him. What that means.
I get that, but think about it. But you get email on your phone, and to not ever use email at all, that was hilarious when that story broke that Bud Selig was not somebody that used email. This is 7 years ago. It's pretty funny to me.
Sid Hartman uses email.
See?
Or at least he has an email.
If Sid can use email, if Sid can tweet, Bud Selig, he can go ahead and use email. That's what I think. Well, I saw this in regards to technology in the NBA, and it has to do with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are using these, it's like high-tech benches, bench seats. So you know how like when we talk about watching sporting events or going to hang out at a stadium, whatever, and we think about like the folding chairs, and we're not talking about just the nice folding chairs with the nice cushions. No, the Milwaukee Bucks have these like crazy sleek new seats that essentially it's not just about comfort, but it's about recovery, okay? It's about recovery as well. And I saw this article on ESPN.com where essentially they had these seats, and the way that they're made to heat to 106 degrees Fahrenheit, which is supposedly the optimal heat to maintain muscle temperature, according to a study. And that these seats took 3 years, 12 University of Colorado students, a New Zealand research group, and six prototypes to perfect. Think about that. You got a bunch of college students and a research group, and they had to go through six different prototypes for them to get this thing down. And it's all about the heat. So, you know, the funny thing, we talk about heated seats in cars and how that was a thing, and everybody is super... Heck, when you're at the arena and you're sitting there in your comfortable seats ain't nowhere near as comfortable as those players that are sitting there in the arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. Chris Middleton, one of their star players, an all-star this year. They're definitely great. I put my seat all the way to the top. It's not too comfortable to be scrunched all the way up. Because that's one of the unique things about it, too, is just the whole, like, the frame of it all. Because you got Milwaukee's one of the teams in the NBA that has the tallest players in terms of like their starting five. And when it comes to comfort, well, these chairs look ultimately super comfortable. When I saw a picture of them, you can see right there on the picture as they're sitting there, there's like plug-ins. And I think it's set up to where like, and I'm not saying that an NBA player would do this because you need to be paying attention to what the hell is going on a basketball court, but there's like plug-ins right on the seat where you can put it, you can put in all kind of like electric devices. So anything that you would need in terms of like, I guess like any sort of like apparatus to heal you up on the bench, you'd be able to plug it in right there.
Or you see all the time players in all sports now are viewing replays on a tablet or whatever device they have, and if that's low on battery, you can.
Plug it in right there.
Yeah. The question I have is, to say this a little delicately, but don't NBA players have plenty of sweat going on in all areas of their body, and now they're sitting on a hot seat? Doesn't that just increase the sweating in certain regions?
But it's about recovery, though, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think that's like the biggest benefit from everything when it comes to everything that they're trying to do with these heated seats. But I think it's pretty awesome. Maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves will be the next team to benefit from all of this. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, I'm going to give you the recipe for success. Some keys that I think that the Gophers have to do when it comes to pulling off a major upset. We'll do that here in just a few minutes on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO.